Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. We're so blessed that you're joining us, as today is part two of my two-part interview with Desiree Reed of 5secondstoimpress.com. Now, Desiree has been sharing with us in episode one how to reach the millennial generation, and it does not matter if you're in ministry or if you're in business. The millennial generation is the generation that you need to target right now. All right. Now, if you missed any of yesterday's episode, you need to go back and catch up, because today we're going to launch right off into her five-step branding messaging blueprint. This is something that you can put to use right now in your marketing messages, especially pastors. I mean, you need to get off the old bandwagon and get onto the new. You need to start reaching the millennial generation. Now, let's jump right back into this interview with Desiree Reed. Is the overall business operation, or is it specifically in this case, should we be focusing on the millennial generation in order to market to them? How our business could relate to that market segment? Are they like a separate segment from what a normal business would be trying to reach?
That's a very good question. And that's one of those scenarios where I would say, again, it pretty much depends on the person's business model, because there are some businesses that their entire business kind of centers around a specific generation. So maybe it centers around millennials, and it would make perfect sense that everything they do goes back to millennials. But mm-hmm. then in other businesses, it's that the millennials are just a specific segment of that demographic that you are targeting. So you want to make sure that messaging for certain things that you're doing and campaigns that you're doing targets them in a specific way. So maybe it's certain campaigns, maybe it's a certain segment of your business that's okay. reaching that particular generation.
Okay. What's the next step on the branding blueprint?
Step two would be identifying your audience. So that's kind of tying back into who it is that you serve. You know, what generation is it? And I often make a joke about, you know, imagine I was speaking to an audience of baby boomers, and I just finished giving a presentation. And then at the end of that presentation, I tell them, okay, now everyone, as soon as you're done and you leave from here, you know, go online and make sure you DM me. I'm probably not going to hear from too many of them. Many of them will probably look at me like, DM you, what is that? Where are we going? You know, what are we doing? So it's very important to understand who your audience is, you know, who is it that you are speaking to? Because mm-hmm. if you don't, you can have a great mission, great message, you're talking to the wrong audience, yeah. then none of it matters.
Amen. Should, if we're talking about millennials in this example, should it be, our audience is the millennials? Or should it be more specific, like millennials who like to go to and hang out at the beach? You know, I mean, how specific and niche down should we be?
I would say if your audience is millennials, then your audience would be millennials. And it doesn't have to be niched down in that particular instance where it's millennials who like to go to coffee shops or mm-hmm. go to the beach. That would go into more of particular campaigns or different things that you're doing at that point. So that's when you would want to say, okay, which ones am I targeting? But millennials in general would be good enough for that particular stage.
Okay. And we could also relate that back to step one, the mission, message, and purpose. I mean, perhaps someone who had, they're starting their own coffee shop. So in that Correct. Case, it'd be millennials who like to drink coffee.
Correct.
You know, so that would be, yeah, okay. Hey, that, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Okay, what's next?
So step three And this one is probably one of my favorite steps, and that is nailing what to say. So people know I'm the word person. I write copy. I love messaging. So nailing what to say is a huge one. And for this one, I would say, imagine, Bob, imagine if I said to you, Bob, I just can't deal with you right now. I just can't deal with you right now, Bob. How would that make you feel? What would you think if I said that to you?
First thing would be like, what did I do wrong? Why? Why?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, it's not very warm. Now, what if I said to you, Bob, I really would love to chat with you, but I'm just having a very challenging day right now, and perhaps it might be better for us to connect sometime tomorrow, if that's okay. How would that make you feel?
A lot better.
Exactly. And so I say it to people all the time, what you say and how you say it matter. Words matter. But that is one of the biggest disconnects that I find in general when working with anyone, even when visiting people's website, when looking at anything that they're putting out there online, when listening to people communicate. It's the hugest disconnect that's there, because people really, for the most part, they kind of get lost. They get a little tongue-tied when they have to think about how to say something. Their intentions are, most of the time, are really, really good, but they don't know how to communicate it. They don't know the right way to say it. So that's one of the main things we spend a lot of time working on, is nailing what it is that you actually want to say. Are you saying that? Maybe you think you're saying it, but that might not be what you're saying. So we really refine what it is that that overall message is and the words that they should be communicating, what you should really be saying.
Yeah. And there is a different grammar between the written word and the spoken word. You know, when I go in and deliver a message, whether it's a, you know, a keynote somewhere or preaching in a church or talking on the radio, you know, I use common vernacular. You know, I might say, I ain't going to do it, you know, something like that. And when I write my books, a lot of times these books are just transcribed from messages that I gave and then put together and then going through and my editors hate me because it comes up, I ain't going to do it. But you know, they come back, you know, their hair's all frizzled and stuff. But, you know, that, and if I take the time to write a book, which I've done in the past, and actually sit there and write, I'll catch those mistakes probably 75% of the time. Okay. But the grammar itself, you know, is a lot of times will be in there, and I've had some people read and say, you know, as I'm reading this, I hear you speaking. This is just talk. And I said, well, that's what I want. Then they come back and say, well, here's some mistakes you might want to look at. And it looks like they took the manuscript, just dipped it into a bucket of red ink and handed it back to me.
Yeah. I think it's interesting that you're sharing that, because that's one of the things I speak with clients about with copywriting all the time, because a lot of times, unless someone comes from the background of copy and marketing, they will think that, okay, so now I'm writing something and I have to move into my professor mode I am going to, you know, so they start trying to sling around all the big words and prove that they have a wonderful vocabulary, things that they would never, ever say when they're speaking to someone, but it sounds good on paper. But what they don't understand is that when you are writing, especially when you're writing online and even when you're writing books, people want to be able to connect with you. They want to feel like they're sitting across the table having a conversation with you. And if they know you, then they already know how you talk as well. If they've been to one of your seminars or speaking engagements, then they know how it is that you actually talk. So you want to be able to translate that into what you write as well. That's what makes the best copy and the best messaging. Now, of course, we don't want, you know, things to be completely grammatically incorrect, but what you do want to keep is that authenticity and that real conversational tone that you have when speaking to someone.
Amen. And in step 3, in nailing what you need to say, when it comes to that sales pitch, we keep coming back to that, that is marketing, you know, to the millennials. You talked to before about the long form sales letters and things like that. And believe it or not, I still get some of these things in the mail. And
I do,
you know,
too.
It's this big, you know, I won't say thick envelope, but it's got like 6 pages to it or something. And I look at the return address, like, yep, trash, you know. I mean, there could be a check in there. I don't know, but
there could be.
But it just goes, you know, it's like, boop, you know, right in the trash. Because I'm subscribed to so many different, you know, places that, you know, they're all sending me their monthly, you know, newsletters out, which, you know, back 25, 30 years ago, you kind of looked forward to those 3 and 4 page,
right,
you know, letters that they would send out. And now it's like, dude, if you can't tell me in one page, not front and back, but one page, what it is you want, I don't need to know.
Yeah, we're too inundated these days. It's like, we need a break from it. It's too much. You know, we have information overload. That's what I say a lot of times. And right, it's too much. We can't deal with that much to read.
So how do you help a ministry or a business with their quote unquote sales pitch, especially if you're trying to reach this younger generation? Because, you know, these pastors and business owners, I mean, they went to college for business and marketing back in the 1990s.
Yes.
You know, I mean, I that's when I was in college and got my degree, and then my master's I got in 2008. You know, that's what, almost 12 years ago. Things have changed,
yes,
but yet we revert back to what we were taught. Well, this is what we were taught type thing.
Right.
How do you get around that?
One of the main things I do to help people with that is helping them to be more authentic when they are pitching. So yes, we know it's a sales pitch, but it should not come off as a sales pitch. What it should feel like, which is the truth of the matter, hopefully for any kind of business that you're in or ministry that you're in, is it should come off as, I'm providing you with value. So instead of it being a pitch and seeming salesy, it seems more like, this is a piece of value that I'm going to provide you with. Mm. And when you do that, it doesn't turn off a generation like millennials, because they see the value in it. You've communicated it well. You've nurtured them. And that's something else that unfortunately has been missing for quite some time. You don't want to just go and think about it like a first date when you're meeting someone.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to just go in for the kill and like try to go all the way to home base when you're just now meeting someone for the first time. You know, you're on that first date, you're getting to know each other. You got to kind of fill things out. You want to keep that in mind when it is that you're communicating with your audience as well. You can't just, you know, give them a few lines of this and then here, you know, buy my stuff. No. So I really believe in taking the approach of nurture. So providing them with some piece of value up front. You know, I believe in the opt-in method. So maybe it's something of value that you're providing, like an ebook or a cheat sheet, or any kind of free downloadable. You give that to them in exchange for their email address, for example. Mm-hmm. And then at that point, you start communicating with them via email. So you're communicating with them. They're getting to know you. They're getting to know what your brand is all about. You're educating them at the same time. You can provide them with entertaining mm-hmm. content. You kind of take them down a path. And then that way, when it is time for you to actually make your pitch, it doesn't feel like, oh my gosh, you just want money from me. You're just trying to get my business and you don't care about me as a person. But they'll feel like, yeah, I know that brand. I'm familiar with them now. I like them. I like what they're all about. And that becomes a very natural progression for them, just like any other relationship that you're in.
Amen. Amen. And that kind of leads you into step 4, which was making a connection, right?
Correct. You definitely have to make that connection with your audience. And that also ties into something that you mentioned earlier, like, well, where do we find them? You know, is it the ones who are trying to start the coffee shop, or is it the ones who are at the beach? So making a connection is also about meeting them where they are. So where are they? Where do they hang out? What things are important to them? What issues do they care about? What's some of the problems that they're encountering right now? You know, thinking again about the millennial generation, some things that are pain points for them, you know, just thinking of how it's completely different from how it was back in the day, and how job opportunities have been much tougher for a millennial generation, and they're competing globally, not just on a national scale. A lot of millennials are interested in entrepreneurship. You know, what does that look like for them? So thinking about the things that are important to them, thinking about the pain points that are there, and just really identifying how it is you can connect with them and reach them where they are.
Amen. Yeah. You know, we've been taught through, you know, like I've been in sales in some form or fashion since like 1990. And, you know, we were taught to find common ground with a potential client. I talked about maybe being in the insurance industry back in the 90s. And I would walk into a home and I'd see pictures of, you know, kids or obviously grandkids or something like that. And I'd comment on the picture and say, oh, how wonderful grandkids are. You know, I've got mine, and I'd talk about mine and get them talking about theirs. And for the first 5 minutes, you're just talking back and forth, and you made that connection. And now they're like, oh, you're just another friend. Can I get some coffee or something? You know, sure. You know, you sit there and just talk about the grandkids for a few minutes, you know.
Yes.
Or fishing. Now, I'm not into fishing. Never was, never really enjoyed. I see, you know, this mounted bass up on the wall. Oh, you're into fishing? Cool. You know, I used to go fishing when I was in the Army up in Tacoma, Washington. Just loved it. You know, and then they talk about 15 minutes about, you know, their fishing and stuff. Then we get down to business and it's like, oh, no fishermen here, you know?
Yeah, that's missing. That's been missing here lately. And it's unfortunate. And that's one of the things that I really try to help people get back to the essence of. You know, it's not a transaction. You know, it should be personal. We should get involved with people. You know, we should care. We should care on a deeper level. And honestly, that's why every conversation I have, even when talking with new clients, even when talking with leads or just anyone in general, it's always a conversation that we're having before we get down to business, kind of just like what you were saying, because I want to know about you. You know, I want to know about what's going on in your world, and you know, what are some of the things that matter to you, because I should care about you as an individual before I care about the business transaction. And if people can really get that, if they can get that part, then they'll be able to do well, no matter what generation they're trying to reach.
Now, how can someone that is not a millennial connect with millennials when you're not of the same generation? I mean, what could we possibly have in common with them?
You'll be surprised. You'll be surprised. So there's so many things that are similarities. And of course, there are some differences. But the beautiful thing is we can all learn from each other. So one of the main things that has been the missing piece is finding the common ground to connect. And because once you find a common ground, then you can facilitate the conversation. So I would say meeting online, for example, social media, kind of like I mentioned with the emails and some of those other methods, is a great place to get started, because that can cross all generations. You know, it doesn't matter what generation you're in. And then being able to have a conversation kind of goes back again to a little bit of research and just really learning different ways and getting a little bit of training, honestly, on how to open those dialogues and begin a conversation. Because I do think that people find it a little intimidating to speak to another generation sometimes, because I know sometimes millennials can think, well, you know, the baby boomer generation, they don't understand anything about what I'm going through. And then another one will say, well, you know, these kids are just lazy. They don't want to go to work, you know. And those are so many of the misconceptions we have about each other across the generations. But having that open space and really conducting dialogue among each other, we would be shocked to find out that, you know, it's really not what you think it is, and really start those conversations. So just really kind of springboarding that platform and making a safe space for it. One other thing that I would say is, you know, even inside of the workplace, that's one area that I like to work with clients on as well, because in the workplace, when you think about it, we now have multi-generations going on. We have the millennials, we have the baby boomers, we have the generation even before that sometimes that's there. And there is this huge disconnect, and they don't know how to communicate with each other. And so what would be extremely helpful is for those organizations, for those companies, to have different training sessions where we're opening up the platform for us to have real dialogue among each other and facilitating those conversations so that we can learn and grow with one another, understanding how a millennial feels about X, Y, and Z, and same thing for other generations. And, you know, just seeing that, because when it happens, it's the most beautiful thing. And it's like, now we're starting to learn how to speak one language instead of speaking in all kind of different tongues.
Amen. Amen. I agree wholeheartedly. What's the last step on your blueprint?
Yeah. So step five is growing a loyal tribe. So it kind of just takes everything that we've been talking about from step one of understanding that vision and, you know, your mission, your message, and what it is that you're doing. And step two of being able to, you know, identify your audience. And step three of nailing what it is you're saying and making connections. So we kind of wrap all of that together. And step five would bring you to growing a loyal tribe. And what I look at with that is your loyal tribe is really that audience that you've been working on building the connection with overall, you know, whether that is an audience externally, like for public facing, you know, the people that you're trying to reach, the people that you're trying to do business with, and also those internally. Again, like if it's the workplace or if it's inside of a church or whatever that might be, but really letting them know that you care about them, just making them understand that you care about them on a deeper level, because that's going to instill a level of trust in them. They're going to feel like, I trust this brand. You know, I trust this individual. I trust this company because they've proven themselves to me. And at that point, you have someone who is a loyal subscriber, a loyal client, a loyal fan, you know, a loyal employee. And they're the ones that's going to go on now and basically evangelize about your business. They're going to tell everyone else that, you know, this is a great place to work for, or this is a great church that you should visit. And that's what you want, because that's how you spread the word organically and authentically.
Yeah. And, you know, what I've found in my online business as well is once they're a client, keep them as a client. That doesn't mean, you know, every week you're selling them something, you know, you're sending them emails trying to sell them something else. Send freebies. You know, hey, I just wrote this ebook, you know, and it's being offered on my website for $19.95 or whatever. Here, it's a free download just for you, you know.
Yes.
They're absolutely. Like, he's not trying to sell me every week.
Absolutely. And if people can get that, I mean, it would be amazing. And that's one thing that I do work with clients on all the time is, you know, just really show them that you care. You know, you don't have to sell them all the time. Everything should not be something that you're selling them. And stay in contact with them as well, because a lot of times too, when I work with people, one of the things that I'll find is maybe they, the last time that they emailed someone in their list was a year ago when they sold them something, and now they're ready to sell them something again the next year, and they're wondering, well, why is no one buying? And I'm like, really? You haven't even been communicating with these people. They feel like every time you come back around, you're just trying to get their money. So keep the relationship going and stay in communication with them on an ongoing basis. Kind of think about it how you would treat any other relationship that you have in your life. You would not want someone to treat you as though they're only coming to you when they want something. So look at it in that context as well. And just, you know, just treat people well, treat them fairly.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Desiree, this all sounds fantastic. And I know I've been banging my head against the proverbial wall and trying to figure out if and how to reach the millennial generation, as well as, you know, marketing our services and things like that. And I know I've learned some things today, and I believe our listeners have as well. And I'm sure, you know, I'll have some questions for you as I continue to go through this. And I have a feeling that our listeners will also. If someone wanted to get in touch with you to ask a question, to get your millennial messaging session or information on your five-step blueprint, or maybe reach out to do an interview like this, how can they get in touch with you? How can they do that?
Absolutely. And I got to tell you, it's been wonderful chatting with you about this. Amen. So if anyone wants to get in touch with me, you can contact me at 5secondstoimpress.com. 5secondstoimpress.com.
All right. And I'll put a link to that in the show notes down below. Folks, you do realize that the baby boomer generation is fading away. I mean, most are retired or entering retirement. Generation X, Y, and Z's are all getting older as well. The millennial generation are the ones now entering as the major players on the scene. The future belongs to them. They're in need of learning what you can do for them. I mean, that's our purpose, to pass on concepts, strategies, and lessons we've learned, and that not just what we've learned on our own, but from those that came before us. And the millennial generation will be the emerging market segment for the current and into the next generation of consumers in America. I mean, they'll be starting families soon, running businesses, entering government. They need you. They need your wisdom. They need your expertise. They need to learn from you. They need whatever spiritual wisdom you can impart to them. I guarantee Jesus loves them just as much as he loves you. So your church needs to reach out to them as well as the business people out there. Amen. Reach out to Desiree today. Get in touch with her. See if she can help you to shape your message, whether business or ministry related, to reach this emerging market segment, the millennial generation. I mean, they are just now really starting to come into play in the marketing business. Everything up until now has been just getting started. This is the time for them to really enter and impact the marketing scene. And you need to be on the forefront of this marketing segment if you want to be successful over the next 10, 15, or even 20 years. So go down below, click the link, get in touch with Desiree Reed today. Ask her some questions. See how she can help you to develop the brand and the message to reach this marketing segment or whatever the market segment is you are trying to reach. You may not be trying to reach the millennials. You may be trying to reach the people that are retiring. That's okay. She can still help you shape your message and your marketing for them. So go down below, click the link, get in touch with her. Desiree, thank you so much for taking the time to come on the program today. I appreciate it. And I know this is a needful time for such a message as you've been sharing today. So thank you.
Thank you for having me. It's been wonderful.
Amen. Folks, that is all the time that we have for today. For Desiree Reed, myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.